Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, we are so grateful for this opportunity, and we invite you to share this opportunity with your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world so that they can come and learn with us. God is so good. He is gifting us with just wonderful people to really shine his light, and we are so grateful for Mr. Dan Fraley. I know me and Ms. Barbara have known him for years, and we just love, the wisdom that Mr. Dan shares with us about Israel. Hi, Ms. Barbara. Hi, Mr. Dan.
Hi there.
Well, we can hear you, Mr. Dan. I hope I'm not coming too loud. Got a brand new phone. I'm thinking I sound a lot better than I used to. But anyway, we're going to get started. And if you don't mind, Ms. Barbara, I'm going to turn it over to you because you always get us started on the right foundation.
Okay, well, let's get started on that right foundation and let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gift of today. We thank you, Father, that you love us, you've had mercy on us, you forgive us of our sins. We thank you, Father, for your kindness to us, which is evident every day of the year. We thank you, Father, for this day of remembrance, the Holocaust Remembrance Day. We thank you, Father, that we have this day to particularly think about, Lord, what happened during those horror years of horror, and how many Jewish lives were taken unlawfully, just heinously, Lord. And the many other lives that were taken away during World War II and during the Nazi regime. And, oh, Lord, there have been so many. But we thank you that we can have this day of remembrance, Lord, that we can think about it and learn from it, oh, Lord. Learn the lessons of history. Learn how anyone was able to get that much power that they could do those horrendous deeds. Help us, Lord. Help us to stand up for what's right where we are today. We ask, Father, that you be with particularly those who have suffered during the Holocaust and the families of those in the Holocaust, that you will give them comfort and courage, Father, to share boldly what it was done, that it never be forgotten. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Diana? Dan?
Yes, I'm finally here. Had to mute myself. Thank you for that.
I thought I'd lost you both.
I thought I lost myself too. My input is not so fast. When I click on something, it takes a while. But, you know, God is really the author and the finisher of our faith, and he's the author, really, of everything that is going on. And Ms. Barbara, today's confirmation of that, because, you know, we've always said this is not our show. This is really God's show. It's all about him. And it's so funny because we had scheduled our Claudine and Victor Chamberlain, and we just love them. They're in their 80s, and they're just a testimony of really of an amazing love for God. You know, they have served and given him their lives. I know Ms. Claudine, she came from a missionary family, and so she grew up in the mission field. And at the age of 84, she has not stopped. She is out there still proclaiming the good news in Cameroon, Africa. And we're very grateful. But God ordered our steps. For some reason, they're not on. And so I called Mr. Dan because I remember from yesterday when I was looking up about our interview with our friend Luden from Israel that today is really Holocaust Remembrance. And, you know, Ms. Barbara, God wanted Mr. Dan to be on because
yes.
To me, there is no better person. He has always, since I've first known him, just really tried to remind us Americans of our heritage, our Christian heritage, of the Jewishness that really, you know, the gift from God, you know, here's Israel, a sample of his amazing grace, of his amazing love told in that nation, in their history, in the people. And I can think of really no better person to remind us of, you know, this important event in the history of Israel, and really the world, than Mr. Dan Fraley. So we're so grateful, Mr. Dan, that you make yourself available to us.
Well, I enjoy getting on with you all. Yeah, this is a special day. When they first decided to do this, in 1953, they were going to have it on the 14th of Nisan, but because that is the first of the Seder of the Passover, that they moved it ahead to the 27th, and that's why it's celebrated now on the 27th of Nisan. And there's two more important dates coming up in a week. Actually, in 6 days, you have the celebration of Yom HaZikaron, which means Terrorism Day. In other words, those who were killed by terrorism remembrance, they have a terrorist remembrance day on the 25th on our calendar, which is an interesting day too. And we should have that. We've had several killed in the terrorist attack too, you know, with 9/11 and other attacks. So we should, yeah, as Americans, we should have that day honored also. And the day after that is their Independence Day on the fourth day of Ayir, which is the 26th of April. So a lot of interesting stuff coming up. But getting back to Yom HaShoron, the Holocaust Remembrance, or the can also mean Hero Remembrance Day, but we know it as Holocaust Remembrance Day. They were heroes for sure. They were kind of like our Lord. They were lambs led to slaughter. I don't know how deep you want me to get into this, but an interesting thing came to me the other day in my mind, and I realized, sorry about that, Paul, I realized that Europe has actually been ruined because of Auschwitz and the other concentration camps. And the reason I say this is because you think of it this way. they slaughtered, the Germans slaughtered 6 million Jews. Now, those Jews were talented people. Jews
That's
are
right.
lazy people. They call them lazy people, but they were musicians. They were scientists. They were good at what they did. And what has Europe replaced with them? 6 million Jews they killed, and in return they got 130 million Arabs living in Israel in Europe
yeah.
now. And those folks
yeah.
aren't good musicians, and they're not gonna be moral people. They
or
hated
scientists,
the country. They
or
right, exactly. And they hated their own country that they left because of the suppression. So they come to another country, and then they try to change the country they moved to be like the country they moved away from. It does not make sense to me. But we need to have a wake-up call in this country. There is a point when tolerating the freedom of religion has to be discussed, because we are a Christian nation. Islam is a very vicious, they're not serving a God of peace. Our Bible speaks of a God of peace. Theirs is a God of war. It comes from the moon god, Al-Hayy, which was the God of war. And we are, we tolerate them. We actually do things, go out of our way to appease them and give them a foothold. And they're using all of that. They're using the laws and the freedoms of the countries they go into actually to kidnap and to hold hostage the countries they are in. And if you study what's going on in Europe right now and see that over 50% of the babies that are born in England right now are being named Muhammad, then you know something's wrong. We are in big trouble.
Well, Muhammad is the most popular name in the entire world.
Exactly. Yeah,
and
we are in trouble. And you know, I've already been put on a death list according to Ivan Mordecai, which is he writes for the Israeli Today. But I met him in Montgomery not too long ago because of some of the things I've written about Islam on my blog site. He ran across it, but you know, the truth is the truth. Muhammad, if you know, Simon Rushdie has a death sentence on him because he wrote things against Muhammad, saying who he really was. He's just a drug addict, child molester, a killing machine, robbed caravans, never wrote a book, couldn't read or write, so somebody had to do that for him. It wasn't him that did it. In fact, all the writings were destroyed, and after his death, somebody remembered them, how convenient, and wrote them back down again. But the bottom line is it's a curse, it's a cancer upon this globe. And if the Christians, you know, we can't do anything by might so much, but there's things that we can do as Christians, it seems like, to fight against this. And I don't know what it's going to take. We need to unite. We need to come together. Our strength comes in unity. We don't need to be afraid to let our voices be heard because of the freedom of speech before it's suppressed and start to be called hate crime speech and stuff like that. It's comparing apples and oranges. Look at what the Christians and the Jews do, the folks in the world. You don't get any of that out of any of the Islamic nations.
That's right. Dan, I was thinking, I was talking about this to someone just the other day. They have in Israel medical teams that are sent to any part of the world that experiences a disaster. And those medical teams from Israel, made up of Jewish people, the best of the best. You know, they have the best science and medicine and research and all of that. And they travel to those disaster areas to help whoever is in need, whether they're no matter their creed, their religion. They've helped in just all over the world, including the Arab countries, if they're allowed in.
Mr. Dan, Ms. Barbara, I'm sorry. Sister Nancy. I'm just looking at my Bible, and I'm looking at where it says in Luke 14, start with verse 25, and it's really about Jesus teaching about the cost of being a disciple. And, you know, Miss Claudine and Mr. Victor, they know the cost of being a disciple, yet they're still doing it. They're in their 80s, you know. And when you see Miss Claudine, she's just a happy person and so full of life. And but when you hear what this couple have done with their life, you know, it's really spectacular. And it's really, I think these two know at the beginning what the cost was of being a disciple, of being a follower of Christ. And I guess that's something that a lot of people today, a lot of Christians today, really don't know. It's almost like we're in a country club, you know, feeding our own selves with more good things, you know, and we're not going beyond the four walls. But at the same time, it's really exciting because when I look what's happening in Israel, it's like, wow, you know, like we were saying with Barbara yesterday, the Bible is so true, Mr. Dan. And you know, the time of rest may be soon coming.
Yeah. That's right. You know, the most sold book in the Islamic nations is Hitler's Mein Kampf. So that ought to tell you something right there. And what's really sad, if we really take it back to its roots, and I know you might get some pastors that will call you, because there's always pastors that use Martin Luther, the reformist's words, you know, being such a great man. Now, he wrote some great songs, and he did a good thing by breaking away from the Catholic Church. But he just didn't go all the way. And his writings, his anti-Semitic writings that he used about destroying their houses and poisoning their wells and I don't know, it gets worse than that. But you can go to a website, Martin Luther, and read something about his, you know, about his writings on the Jewish people. But Hitler used those writings as a guide for the book Mein Kampf. So every time we plant a seed, you know, Martin Luther planted some good seeds, and he was a man of God, but he didn't realize he planted some seeds that brought an evil crop, and he'll be held in judgment for that. It's a scary thing. So we have to watch our lives, you know. Sometimes we get upset, and I know the Bible in Zechariah says, I think it's Zechariah 4:6 or something that says that it's not by power nor by might, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. So the Lord's got it in control. It's his spirit that's going to save us all, that we'll just put our faith and depend on him. But it bothers me for us to stand around and do nothing when Islam is virtually taking over the globe.
Oh, indeed. And Miss Barbara, let me for the listeners, you know, there's not enough history being taught in our schools, and I don't know if we have some very young people that may be listening to the podcast at times, but if you don't mind, give us a little bit of a history as to the Holocaust. And then, Mr. Dan, I'm going to ask you some questions, too.
Well, you know, everything that Adolf Hitler did, he did legally. And he had laws passed that were against the Jews. I mean, it was lawful. They had the laws changed. And there are many who see the similarity between Nazi Germany and the United States at this time. But when we travel to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., and you see the railroad cars where the Jewish people were squeezed in, where they couldn't even move, and all the deprivations that they endured on being transported to the concentration camps, where so many were tortured and died. But one of the things that people come away from that Holocaust Museum with is the truth that what happens when there is unrestricted power of government, you know, unlimited power of government, that government must be restricted because government is operated by men, and men are tempted to do evil. As long as we're on the earth, we'll have those temptations. We don't have to give in to those temptations with the Lord's power, but we are subject to those temptations. And so that, I think, is to me, that's the lesson, whether it's Mussolini or Adolf Hitler or Hirohito in Japan, but the government having unlimited power is the most dangerous thing. And when you talk about Islam, you're talking about that is a political system, that is a governmental system, as well as a religion of, so it's the same thing there, and that is even more fearful than anything else, you know. And of course, we see what they do with it when they have total power, that they do not allow any freedom of any sort. In Islam, you cannot even challenge the doctrine. You can't ask questions. You know, it's that's not permitted. So to have freedom of conscience or freedom of speech or freedom, you know, converting to another religion or being converted to Christ, that's punishable by death. And, of course, we see in other totalitarian governments that the practice of your faith and freedom of conscience and freedom of religion is not permitted there as well. So, you know, government power in anyone's, total power in anyone's hands is to be abhorred. And but it's going to take people who know right from wrong, people who know the Bible, to restrict the government and to make sure that the government stays within its boundaries. And that's our job. That's our job to do. That's our duty. That's our obligation to do that. And, you know, when we let down our guard and don't take action the way we're supposed to, we see what happens. The government gets total power.
Mm. Well, Ms. Barbara, I was looking up, you know, how many Jews were killed, and it's saying 6 million. Does that sound right to you?
6 million Jews and if I'm not mistaken, 10 million Christians.
Wow.
Jews, Christians, and gypsies.
Wow. That is amazing. And hate, that's what happens. And didn't somebody point this out to us, that Hitler was voted in? It wasn't like,
yes,
he just
during
took over.
During a crisis, you know, like Rahm Emanuel said, when he was chief of staff to President Obama, you know, never let a crisis go to waste. You use it. But there's also the creation of crisis in order to manipulate the people and call out for help from the government. And so, yeah, that was done. And then also it's important to note that before the laws were formed against the Jews there in Nazi Germany, they were marginalized. They were, by the government, by Adolf Hitler and his cronies, they were marginalized, and they were set apart. They were restricted in certain ways, step by step. It wasn't all at one time. And so we see the encroachment of our freedom. And anytime we see a group being marginalized and set up to be ridiculed, they were called rats. They were referred to, the Jewish people were referred to as rats, to put in the minds of the German people that they were less than human, because the experiments that were done on them were inhuman and torture. So Hitler set up to make them appear subhuman. And of course, don't forget, you know, Hitler eliminated the handicapped, those he deemed inferior. You know, abortions, they had abortions to abort those that were not going to be normal, and then they eliminated the handicapped, and step by step by step.
Well, you know, it's really, I love to hear this from Mr. Dan. I'm fixing to ask him to comment on something he said in the past, but before I do, I want to mention this that I remember seeing. There was a judge who ruled against an atheist that was beat up by a Muslim. He had the audio or video recording thrown out. And there was a recording where he pretty much said that, you know, you were really being very insensitive to the Muslim faith, you know, what you were doing. I think it was a man that was dressed up as Muhammad or something like that. And anyway, and Islam, a Muslim beat him up. But the judge had become a Muslim, too. So he was very sympathetic to the Muslim faith. And this happened in Pennsylvania, and of course, I'm wondering, there was a call in the article for him to be taken out of office, and I'm thinking, if there's any perfect case for impeachment, I'm thinking this is it, Ms. Barbara. But I wanted to ask Mr. Dan, you know, God is so good because he will work things out according to his plan. And one of the most memorable things that I hear you talk about was, you know, in those dark days, when Israel, you know, it looked to the world like, you know, we are going to be able to destroy Israel, how God came through. And if you don't mind, share some of those stories and include in there the story about the phone call that one of the presidents got for help from Golda Meir. But if you don't mind.
You're talking to Dan, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Mr. Dan, did I lose you? Okay, he might have had to get off, Ms. Barbara. Oh, I see, here he is. For some reason, he fell off. Hi, Mr. Dan, you're back on.
Am I back on?
Yeah, did you hear my question about, you know, how God works things out for the good? Okay, if you don't mind, just tell us some of those stories.
Oh, I don't, there's several stories. You know, God has always worked miraculous things with the Jews. You know, they are being protected. I mean, it all through the history of the whole movement, you know, the Zionist movement, that seems like God's hands was in there working. But when they were about to, I can remember when I was in the service in 1968 or 67, right before the 67 war, you know, they asked for help. And we were in the middle of the Vietnam War, and there wasn't a whole lot we could do. But I was in a squadron of airplanes that were a little older than the rest of the airplanes, and just overnight, we loaded all those planes onto an aircraft carrier and sent them to Israel, an F-8 aircraft, because of a call.
When was that, Dan?
That was in 67, right before the Six-Day War. They knew that they were going to have to have it, because they were if they didn't do a surprise attack on Egypt and their air force, they would have been slaughtered, because the Egyptians had a lot of jet fighters. But it's just several things. You know, Nixon was in office at that time, and his, you know, I never cared for Nixon that much, but his mother, you know, always told him that he would be raised up for a certain time, that he would have to help the Jews.
That's right.
And he did. He got a chance to do that because of that phone call in 67. But, you know, it's just God, during the battle with Hezekiah, I mean, he wakes up one morning after repenting, and he goes, you know, to go fight the enemy, and you know, this is going to be the end, and 160,000 men are lying dead around Jerusalem or whatever. God has, you know, he works in miraculous ways, and he says he's going to do it again during the Ezekiel War, Ezekiel 38, when the armies oppress Israel in the last days after they have returned to Israel. And they've already done it several times, but they're going to do it again. Now, Israel is being forced right now. Their hand is being forced because the world has turned against them. They've got to do something about the nuclear Iran becoming a nuclear nation, having a nuclear weapon, because Obamajad has said as soon as he's got it, he's going to use it, and he wants to destroy Israel. And if Israel can't come to us for help, and I think I said a little bit about that last time I was on a radio station, but it was like Jesus praying in the garden. When he was suffering, he said, "Let this cup pass from me." The Jews are kind of saying that now in prayer, "Lord, let this, you know, we're in a hard situation here. Let this pass from us." But they go to the three disciples for help, and they're asleep, and he tries to wake them three different times. And how many times has Israel come to the UN or the EU or the US for help? And, you know, and we as the U.S. have been the last to help them, but now we are turning our backs against them. It says in the scriptures that all nations come against Israel in the last days. So, you know, I can believe that with the kind of leadership we have in Washington right now, that if Israel were to go against Iran, we would be forced, because of the world opinion, to do something against Israel for doing such a rash act, when in actuality it's just an act of protection.
Well, Dan, let me say, you're saying because of the world's opinion. I hate to say this, but, you know, our president does not show a love for Israel, as this nation has shown through the years. He is one of the first ones I have ever seen that the policies are, I hate to say it, so anti-Israel.
Well, he's had a Muslim upbringing. That's all I can say.
Yeah, he sure did. Hey, Dan, when Israel first asked for help, Henry Kissinger was Secretary of State, and they were turned down flat by Henry Kissinger. And he said, "Let the Israelis bleed a little." And so Israel was desperate. And in the middle of the night, Prime Minister Golda Meir picked up the phone and called the private line of President Richard Nixon. And she said, "Mr. President, if you don't help us, the Jewish people will never survive." And what you said about President Nixon's mother, he had grown up and she had hearing the stories in the Bible, she would read them to him. And she did say that to him, that one day you're going to be in a position where you can help save the Jewish people. And you know, Nixon said at that point, you know, he knew for the first time why he had become president. He said that. And that just touched me so deeply when I read that. And but you were part of the largest airlift of armament since World War II, and Golda Meir got everything she asked for, every weapon, every vehicle, all the equipment, all the ammunition, and overnight it was airlifted to Israel. And it did save Israel from destruction. The Lord used the United States in that airlift, and that was Nixon's last international achievement before leaving the world stage, and his finest hour, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's so sad, 44 years later, that same time, that same scenario may be coming upon us, and wow, what a difference the answer may be, Mr. Dan, Ms. Barbara.
Yeah. Yeah, because we do not have a president and an administration, including the State Department, with Hillary Clinton leading that up. They are not supportive of Israel.
And
there are like 74 members of the House of Representatives, all of them Democrats, that are against Israel.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mr. Dan.
I'm just going to say, can you imagine Benjamin Netanyahu calling Obama and saying the Arabs are flowing across the borders, are coming in, so we need help right now. Oh, well, let me put it before the committee, and I'll get back with you.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Dan, it's just really, Ms. Barbara, you know, it's just amazing how the Bible is so true and everything we're seeing is just right in line with the Bible. But then, you know, people really need to be thinking about the scripture that says whoever blesses Israel will be blessed and whoever curses Israel will be cursed. And, you know, you can look at the world and you can kind of see who are cursed.
Yeah. Dan, do you remember when Bill Dickinson was in the House of Representatives? He represented the 2nd District.
Oh, yeah. His son and I were best friends.
Really?
Yeah, Chris Dickinson and I were hippie buddies.
All right. Well, I remember the reason I brought him up is Diana quoted that scripture, he who blesses Israel shall be blessed, and he who curses Israel shall be cursed. And I remember when he was in office, and I think it was during the 80s, 1980s, but I remember being in a meeting, and I was saying something on behalf of Israel, and I quoted that scripture. And I don't remember what was going on at the time. I just remember quoting that scripture in a meeting where Bill Dickinson was addressing the crowd. I guess it was sort of like a town meeting or something. But interesting. It's the truth. It is the truth. And we have always blessed Israel. Not always. Not always. When FDR was president, he turned down the Jewish people who were getting out of Nazi Germany, and he refused to allow them to immigrate to the United States.
Well, right now, out of the 95%, supposedly 95% of the world, Christians or whatever, I just read this in Israeli Today magazine, that claim to be Christians are actually supporting the sanctions against Israel because of the Palestinian problem. And Palestinian problem is just a big lie. It's propaganda, just like Hitler used.
Is
what Islam is using, you know. But the bottom line is, Christ is coming back to glorify Israel and to become the king over Israel. And do we want to be on the wrong side of the fence, not glorifying Israel when he comes? Can he bless us for that as a Christian? So these churches that are forming sanctions against Israel, and a lot of them in the north are, even though the southern churches seem to be holding on to supporting Israel. I don't understand that, other than the southern Christians are more evangelical or whatever. But there's going to be a big wake-up call. I mean, how can you not believe there's a God when all these things are talked about in the Bible thousands of years before they happen, and we're sitting here and experiencing the prophecy is being fulfilled daily, and we kind of know what's going to happen in the end, but it's frustrating, not be able to do more.
Mr. Dan, me and Ms. Barbara were saying something the other day, and I just talked to her earlier before the show, and we had a gentleman come on, and really he was talking about the fact that really the Muslims should have a right to have their own, I think, magnet schools, kind of like, you have magnet schools for math and science, charter schools. But I think that's what he was talking about. But
he was responding to what I said about it, because I had said, that the madrasas, the Islamic schools in the United States, are indoctrinating American children in the doctrine of Islam, which does not permit freedom of speech, does not permit freedom of conscience, does not permit freedom of religion, and does not permit equality under the law, and is therefore what they're teaching is anti-American and anti-constitutional. And I thought that I was very clear in why we could not permit schools to teach what subverts the ideals and principles of our very own country. I thought I was very clear, but he called in after that and said he didn't understand. It's exactly what you said, Diana.
Well, I was telling Miss Barbara this today, Mr. Dan, that I, you know, later on I was thinking, well, it, to me it's common sense. Common sense. But then I got to thinking, to people that do not read the Bible, and the Bible says in God's word that we are to abide in him and he will abide in us. And if they do not have that relationship, if they do not read God's word and you know, understand what God's speaking, then common is not so. Common sense is not the same as what they see as common sense. And that is really, you know, got me to thinking, well, you know, wow, we really have to, you know, remember when we say common sense, what perspective, whose perspective are we looking at as common sense? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it the other, the darkness?
Well, common sense is not so common, is it?
We as taxpayers are told that there's a separation of church and state. We're not allowed to teach anything religious in our schools and so on and so forth. But we spend millions and millions of dollars for schools of education in the Gaza Strip and in the West Bank, and all they teach in those schools is the fundamentals of Islam and raising up even the infants and having skits and everything else, showing how to strap on suicide bombs and all this kind of stuff. It's aggravating to me as a taxpayer that kind of stuff goes on. I wouldn't give a nickel to a school that teaches hatred and terrorism. I would.
Wow, we need to
bring
that up, Dan. We're going to bring that up to Martha Roby, Ms. Barbara. I think we need to.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, she can investigate it. In fact, a good magazine to get is Israel Today. It's a messianic magazine put out by the Jews, that Jewish people, that are messianic Jewish people. And Victor Mordecai, which I mentioned earlier, is one of the writers for that magazine, but they tell it like it is. Victor Mordecai, which is a friend of mine in Israel, his wife is Egyptian. She's a Christian. Of course, they're both Christians now, but she works for the Messiah of Israel, and she listens to, because she speaks Arabic, she listens to Arabic conversations daily on the telephone, and she reads emails. You know, she investigates anything that might be subversive to Israel or even to us here in the West. One of the things that Victor Mordecai told me the last time I talked to him, that the strategy that Islam is using right now in the Muslim Brotherhood is they're unifying under a caliphate. That's what they're struggling for right now, so that they can get their military orders out in unison and all things happen at the same time. And she had heard conversations about visas that were given to Syrian people, men, to become taxi drivers in Toronto, Canada, and her department that she was in followed this and investigated these 15 men, and only out of the 15 men, only three of them became taxi drivers in Toronto. The rest of them lived within 10 to 15 miles distance of the Alaskan pipeline. And they don't know why, but if you have any common sense, you know that the Alaska pipeline is going to be something that's going to be attacked somewhere in the future. And that's just one of the things, but they were saying it'll be a coordinated attack because they're going to do things all over the world to every nation, every free nation, simultaneously at the same time that they come against Israel, so that our minds will be on our own protection rather than trying to help Israel.
Mm. They have such a hatred of freedom, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Mm-mm. Well, I thank God that we still live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And Mr. Dan, we appreciate, you know, all the input that you give us as to what's going on. And we're going to have some, I'm going to ask you to come on when we've got Abby Livni coming on, I hope, the first of next month to join us. But I know you're going to love him. But there's so much going on in Israel, and I think one of the things that we Christians can do is really to get informed and elect, vote biblically. This election is going to be so pivotal. Do we want to follow God's ways, or do we want to go away from that? And I think that's going to be really, it's like a parting of the ways, so to speak, I think this election is going to be, Mr. Dan.
I don't know. We're just going to have to hear in these last days. All we can do is pray and have faith in Christ, because I don't see the only light that I see at the end of the tunnel is the coming of the Messiah. Because I'm sorry, I don't see Romney able to beat Obama. If he does, well, great. I mean, that's fine. But I don't see that. I'm afraid that that Obama and his cronies, his administration, is doing everything that they can do to economically destroy this nation. So sort of like what Hitler was going through, so that he or some other leader can step forward that they have programmed and bred for just the time to have the solution for all the problems. You know, this seems like they're causing the problem, so somewhere they think they've got the solution to the problems in the future. That's how politics works these days.
Mm. Yeah, they create the problems that they're wanting to act like they're giving the solutions for those problems they created. Yeah, they look at the end, and of course they believe that the end that they're seeking justifies the means by which they seek it.
Right.
Oh boy, yeah, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. You know, some years ago, I remember we were wearing buttons, political buttons, saying pray and vote, and distributed them throughout the churches. Does anybody remember that? Pray and vote buttons. We might need to get them printed up again, you know.
Well, even if the Conservative Party takes back over the leadership of this country, most of our nation, it seems like, or a good majority of our highly populated cities and states and whatever, are not going to support whoever he is. Their mind is set on what they want out of this world, and they're just, excuse the expression, hell-bent in that direction. So whoever the president is going to be is going to have a hard time if he's conservative. Now, if he's liberal again, of course, he's going to go on vacation every 2 weeks and golf 13 times a day and just let his cronies run everything, just put his 2 cents everywhere. I'm getting on my soapbox here. I better shut up. But, you know, we have really gone downhill. I'm just so depressed about what's happened to our nation in the last 3 years. It's so depressing to me. It's so obvious to me the way I see it, and I can't understand why it's not obvious to everybody else.
Well, I love what this says on Luke chapter 14 again about the cost of being a disciple. Mr. Wayne had shared it the other day. Miss Barbara, Mr. Dan, I don't think Miss Barbara was on, but he was talking about, you know, the foreign Denmark has now made themselves to be a cashless society, and Canada is following with a mint chip. That can be placed on your hand or on your forehead. Those are the two most likely places. Again, you know, what the Bible talks about, that cashless society, it is here. But so we, you know, whoever's listening, you need to count the cost, because if you are a Christian, you know, you may be around and have to suffer still for a little while. And one of the things that Mr. Wayne was warning about, Ms. Barbara, Mr. Dan, was, you know, that chip, wearing the sign of the beast, the mark of the beast. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, I remember that the food stamp program was one of the reasons for all those automated ATMs to take place, because they needed a way be able to, you know, get those benefits through an ATM kind of card. But also for people that are so hard up and they need food stamps, can you imagine how hard it would be for them to say, no, I do not want that mint chip in my hand because, you know, it could mean their food stamps is, you know, they're not going to be able to access what they see as a, you know, their lifeline, the food stamps.
Well, it's like Barbara said earlier, it's going to be a gradual thing. It'll be okay for a few years. You know, you'll have the option. Oh, you can take it if you want. It's more convenient. You won't have to fill out your checks. You won't have to do this, that, and the other. And then pretty soon it's going to be to those who've refused it, well, we can't sell you anything in this store. We quit, you know, accepting cash here or checks. And then pretty soon all the stores will be that way. Pretty soon you can't buy nor sell anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're seeing that more and more places are wanting to do a bank, just take from your bank without writing a check, just bank drafting. However that is done, I don't know how it's done, but seems like we're confronted with that more and more. And I think that's part of going to that cashless society. And you're right, Dan, these things are...
I mean, it's a scenario that's looming ahead, it looks like. The inheritance of heaven for that.
Esau and Jacob.
In Hebrew, it's lentil stew.
Uh-huh.
So for people that are laughing and thinking, you know, that's not going to happen, though, Mr. Dan, it's happened before, and look at what, you know, what that did, you know. And wow, it could happen
well,
again.
Well, I mean, you know, the technology, they want that instant tech now. The problem is all of a sudden you have no control over your cash. You've got somebody
That's
else
right.
with their fingers in your wallet all the time, whatever they want to do. And the power of the government or whoever, you know, I mean, of course, it's going to be the government institution in the eyes of this, but to be able to know your finances is to know exactly everything about you. Oh, I see where you purchased some Bibles.
I think they slide something or done, and it shows them there, you know. You know, if there's a problem with who you are, turn off the gas pump. You can't even buy gas.
Well, we have that.
You know,
we have that now in the United States. They're called with electricity, and they can turn off our electricity or they can restrict our electricity through the smart meters. And that's
okay.
Part of Agenda 21, United Nations Agenda 21 plan. And we already have them in Alabama and all over the country. They're called smart meters.
They're all digitally operated. They don't even have to have a meter reader come by.
Yeah,
wow.
See, that costs people jobs. They're talking about taking jobs away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, it does sound very, very dark times that we live in. But, wow, at the same time, there's the other side of it, right, Mr. Dan, which is look up. You know, that time may be drawing near. So, you know, one of those almost, Miss Barbara, I think this is the time we're living in. It's almost like we're almost ready to step in the other side. But we have to really be vigilant
that's right.
and ready.
That's right. And we see, as the Bible says, that safety is of the Lord. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, or some trust in technology and some trust in their bank balance, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God, and safety is of him. And, you know, I go back to the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack, that he cares for us. And so he is our safety. He's our safety today, whether we know it or not, but he will be our safety in the future too. And what do we have to fear when he is our good shepherd who cares for us?
Yes, and Mr. Dan, I guess, you know, it's just like the Holocaust is that confirmation to the world of God's beautiful and perfect grace that can come after that darkest hour. Because as you have always pointed out to us in the past, you know, this is one nation that shouldn't be, but yet is, and it's in the Word of God. If you don't mind, just remind the listeners of that, how true God is to His Word.
Well, I mean, everything.
With Israel. Yeah, everything.
God has made a covenant with us, and God's not going to break His covenant, even though we break our covenant with Him. So He has made us promises, you know, and look at the honor roll of the faithful in Hebrews 11. They went through some serious things to be able to and still hold their faith to God. And that's what we need to do during these dark times, because, you know, it may be dark now, but we have joy coming like it's just unimaginable joy. And we, even though we're living in dark times, we think we're living in dark times, but think of our brothers and sisters living in Sudan and places and Christians in the Islamic nations and the persecutions they're going through in China and so on and so forth. We're going through nothing. But yet we are here in the Bible Belt, the safest place in the world, being able to witness these things going on and be able to witness our Messiah coming. And I think our job, being in a safety zone like this, is to be super intercessors for the things that's going on with the body of Christ right now. And also with the body of Christ, it says we'll be one new man in the last days, and that's including Israel. Israel is God's chosen people, and we will be one new man under the leadership of Christ. So we need to pray for those brothers and sisters, too, that we are grafted onto. We are part of their commonwealth. We are part of the covenants made to Israel, and that's the only way we become part of them, is to be grafted on.
Well, Mr. Dan, it's about time for us to close, and I would like to ask you in prayer, but I'm looking at what God gave me last night, Ephesians 1, starting verse 3. But I'll say this in verse 9 of it. It says, "And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ." If you don't mind, sir, close us in prayer.
Lord, we just praise You and thank You, Father, for all Your many blessings. Lord, we just thank You for life itself. Father, we just ask You to see to the needs of this nation in our politics, in our leadership. Father, if we are to be a Christian nation and be a light unto the world, Lord, we just ask You to open hearts and open minds here in this country. And, Father, we just place everything into Your hands. We can only trust You. We're Your children, and we need guidance, Father. So we just ask You to bless us, bless this radio program, bless all those that are out there listening, Father. And if they have any special needs, Lord, I just ask Your power and Your Holy Spirit to rain down upon them right now. In Yeshua's precious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Dan. I'm going to let Ms. Barbara close the show. Ms. Barbara, if you don't mind.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you, Diana. And we're always so grateful when Dan Fraley joins with us on the radio show, and he always turns our eyes to Jesus. And that reminds me of the precious song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." Thank you so much, listeners, for joining us today. We ask that you share this podcast and the many others. Go to cityonahill.tv, and you can share those podcasts with friends and family, and so that they can become informed, inspired, and involved.